Fellow redeemed, the word of the Lord for us to be blessed by this morning is Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Where is your joy? Where do you look to find joy? Some people look in little things in life. Coffee break, candy bar, sports team, winning a big game. Some people look to exercise, getting those endorphins going, makes you feel good, or getting something new, some new clothes, or new computer, or something like that. Some people look for fulfillment in their schoolwork, doing a good job, or in their career one day. Many of you will have careers. Some people look to family life. And all of these things give some joy, but it's never perfect. It doesn't last. And so for people of this world who are looking for joy without God, it must be very frustrating as they chase after one thing and another thing, and one after another, all of them end up losing their joy. Like something is just always ruining it, sucking away the joy. Now, we know what that is. It's sin. Sin is the ultimate killjoy. It ruins everything. Our own sins ruin our relationships with other people. And we say or do something we really shouldn't have, and we know that it won't be the same. We don't even want to look them in the eye because we're ashamed of what we did. We feel that same guilt with God, knowing that we have offended Him by our sins. The sins of other people, they harm us. And sin in general has caused the corruption of this world. And you're guilty for that too. After all, when Adam sinned, you sinned. When Adam died, you died. So sin ruins all the things that God meant to be joyful. And so very often we can find ourselves kind of down in the dumps, not feeling very joyful. So it's amazing, it's remarkable that Isaiah, who was a sinner like you, who lived in a sinful world just like you, says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in my God. How can he do that? Well, he tells us. It's because of something that God did. He says, God has clothed me. Backing up for a second, did you notice something else remarkable that Isaiah said? He says, I will exalt in not God, but my God. That's a remarkable phrase. Because it tells us about the relationship that Isaiah had with God. It was a personal relationship, a close relationship. The kind of relationship that Adam and Eve had with God before they fell into sin, when they would walk with Him, talk with Him in the cool of the evening, and they were close. So how could Isaiah, again, a sinner like you and me, he confessed it, chapter 6, he said, I am a man of unclean lips. How could he have that kind of relationship with God? How can you? Because by nature, Isaiah, you, me, we all find ourselves in the same situation that Adam and Eve found themselves in after they sinned. And that was that they were naked. Both physically and spiritually. They were ashamed. They tried to cover up their physical nakedness with some fig leaves patched together as a garment. And they tried to cover up their spiritual nakedness in an even less efficient manner. They hid from God, and then when He came to them, they lied. They tried to cover it up. Lied about their sin. They probably were lying to themselves. I mean, they probably had themselves convinced that what they did wasn't really bad. They blamed it on each other. They blamed it on the serpent. But it didn't work. God saw right through it. And He sees right through our cover-ups too, because we cover up our sins as well, don't we? We don't want other people to see us naked spiritually. It's embarrassing. It's shameful. We don't want them to see our sins. We often don't want to see our sins ourselves. And we certainly don't want God to see our sins. So we cover it up. We lie. An example of this could be the way that we deal with each other. Imagine that there's somebody, maybe they're here in this room, that you don't like very much. You're kind of harboring hate in your heart for that person. And before you go ahead and say, well, I've never really hated anybody, that's a pretty strong word. Biblically speaking, hate is anything less than love. Anytime you don't 100% desire the best for someone else and put their needs above your own, that's hate. But let's talk about it in an even in a worse way, because sometimes we do have the more intense feelings. So you're harboring feelings of hatred towards somebody. What do you do? Well, what you should do as a Christian is go to God in repentance, seeking His forgiveness, and asking Him to change your heart, to have the kind of love that He promises to give. But instead, very often, what we might sometimes do is put on a fake face. Pretend to love that person without actually changing our heart. Go through the motions of caring for that person so that other people will think that we're good Christians, all the while warming our hands at the fire of hate in our hearts. It's something that we all do from time to time, covering up our sins from others, from ourselves, and from God. But it doesn't help anything. There's no joy in it. It doesn't bring peace and unity, and it certainly does not fool God. He sees right through it. And we end up standing before Him naked, ashamed, warts and all. But then, God does something amazing. He does something miraculous. Isaiah says, He covers us. He covers us. He covers our shame and our nakedness. This is what He did for Adam and Eve. Their fig leaf garments were no good. So we're told that God made them clothes out of skin. That's interesting, because it means that God killed an animal or multiple animals in order to make them these garments. That was the first sacrifice, but it wouldn't be the last. It was the first blood spilled in God's now fallen creation, but it would not be the last. For on another day, 4,000 years later, on a hill outside Jerusalem, God slaughtered His only Son. He poured out the blood of the sinless one to cover you. And that's what Isaiah is talking about. Garments of salvation. The word that he uses for garments here is a Hebrew word that refers to the very best. The best garments that only the richest people would have and would only wear at the best occasions. That's the salvation that is given to you in Christ. His blood, which cleanses you and makes you white, so you can stand before Him not ashamed. All of your sins washed away. Not only that, we're told that He gives us the robe of righteousness. This is the robe that Jesus, the only one who never had anything to be ashamed of, wove for you with every perfect second of His life. And He gives it to you so that you are perfect and holy. This is truly a reason to rejoice. And Isaiah highlights that by bringing us an image of marriage. This is seen in Isaiah's day, and it still is, I think, in our culture, as kind of the height of joy in a person's life. Many people look either forward or backward to their marriage with great anticipation or with great nostalgia, rejoicing in that day. If you are married, perhaps you can remember what it was like to put on your wedding garments, your tux or your dress. And if you're not married, well, a smaller example could be what you wore yesterday to formal. Putting on the dress, getting all gussied up, some might say. There's joy in that, isn't there? Not just because you're thinking, oh, I look pretty good. But because of what it means. There's joy. And that's the image that Isaiah brings. He says, as a groom decks himself like a priest. And the idea there is priests wore very ornate, very beautiful robes and garments and headdresses. So did a groom. And a bride would adorn herself to be beautiful for this joyous occasion. So, you have been adorned by Christ. You didn't have anything to make you beautiful on your own. You were naked and ashamed. But Christ gave you His righteousness. He washed away your sins. And He made a union with you. He united you to Himself to be His bride. That's a reason to rejoice. every day of your life? When your own shame and guilt try to bring you down, you can remember, God has covered my shame. He has forgiven my sins. When somebody else hurts you by something that they do, you can remember, I have been forgiven by God. I have been covered. I can forgive. I can love because Christ loved me. And when the sorrows of this life surround you, once again, you can remember, Christ has clothed me, and one day He will bring me into His presence, where the psalmist says there are joys forevermore. So, why rejoice? God has clothed you in Christ. Amen. Hymn 371 will be our hymn. We will sing verses 1, 2, and 3 of hymn 371.